This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
He loves fun. You know what? You know who else likes fun?
Who?
This guy.
Dear Shandy.
Welcome back to another Dear Shandy Bachelor Recap, listeners. Hello, Andy.
Hello.
Happy 2024 to our recap only Shandys.
Our Randys.
Which you should not be.
Rakandys.
How are you, Andy?
I'm freezing.
Yes, we're super cold today. It just so happens, I don't know if we've mentioned this before, but our building is over 125 years old. And we happen to be, when we record this podcast, always in the draftiest corner of our apartment. And it's really cold right now.
Look, houseplants are not supposed to move.
Oh, yeah. It's totally swaying very subtly. That's from this draft. So Andy is wearing, for I think for the first time ever, a sweater instead of a white V-neck.
Yeah, I'm sorry if I let anyone down.
There's going to be some people who are very happy about this. They're going to be like, right. Andy, you look so good in real clothes. Why do you do this?
Finally.
Yeah, stop wearing an undershirt.
Schlub.
I don't think we have any housekeeping before we get to this scintillating premiere.
Scintillating.
Scintillating.
It was filled with scint.
So, you know, Joey.
Yeah.
He's our bachelor. I like Joey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joey is a nice guy.
He's a nice guy.
He's a good-looking man.
Very good-looking.
Very handsome, very chill, mellow.
Very chill.
Extremely chill.
Yes.
Extremely chill.
Yeah, and says the right thing.
Says the right thing.
At the right time.
At the right time. He's very polite.
Very polite.
Gentlemanly. Oh, chivalrous.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, so far.
So far. Yeah, nothing unchivalrous.
Any fouls yet.
Yeah.
Good eye contact here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Decent piece of eye contact.
100%. Yes.
Good athlete.
Yes.
Very good at the athletics.
He's good at the self-deprecation.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's got that handy whenever he needs it. And good listener. So far.
Asks questions. I've got to say, I was noticing some good question asking.
Good question
he would remember the answer to the question he had asked previously. And then the next time see a woman, he would build off that.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Very unawkward. Never creates awkwardness.
Nope.
Always just handles everything. Doesn't bring an enormous amount of humor to the stage.
Yeah.
But also, we don't need that. Mm-hmm. We don't need the Bachelor to be that funny.
I think what I'm lacking, look, I really like Joey. And this is going to sound like we're criticizing him. We're not.
No.
And there's nothing bad to say about him.
Nothing.
He's just lacking flavor for me. But I am optimistic that, you know, we'll see more of him come out.
Joey is like one of those restaurants where they, you know, they do the whole thing. They have like the drizzle of like balsamic around the edge.
Such a good analogy.
They have like a tower. There's like a flower.
Uh-huh.
They flowers from their own garden.
Yeah.
They put a little edible flower.
No, the restaurant you're describing does not grow their own edible flowers.
So they ship the flowers in?
Yeah, they buy them.
You can
buy
edible
flowers. I don't
think
the restaurant you're describing does the edible flowers, period.
Okay,
it's
fine.
It's too expensive.
No, they do. They have this one dish where they do it. They're like, we've seen this edible flower in other nice restaurants. Let's do edible flower.
Oh, okay.
So they put a couple edible flowers on it. It's like a little tower. There's like a couple of layers.
It's a caprese tower.
It's glistening.
Mm-hmm.
It just looks beautiful. Then you bite it and you're like, not quite as tasty as I expected.
Yeah,
but you know what?
Perfectly good.
Good. It's a good value.
Yes.
I'm not getting ripped off at this restaurant.
And I'm not setting this back. Like, there's nothing wrong with it.
Oh.
It's just not like,
yeah. You didn't, you know, it's not going to be something you remember during the week. You're like, damn, that was a good meal.
Yes.
But you're going to leave being like, you know what?
Yeah. Oh,
that was good.
I was
nice
I'm
night.
Satisfied.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was great. Nice to see you. It was great seeing you. It's been a long time. And I'm glad we saw each other for the first time in a while over this meal.
Yes.
All right.
Joey. Okay. But really, I mean, in many ways, he's perfect for this.
Absolutely.
Because he's the canvas. He's not the paint.
No.
He's not meant to be.
No, he's the backing of the canvas.
He's like the wooden frame.
But it's a fine wood. It's a redwood.
Yes.
An old redwood.
Okay. So there's an intro here, including a recap of Joey's journey on charity season. Turns out Joey has moved back to Philadelphia.
Ooh, we like Philly.
Yeah.
Speaking of food,
good
some food. Of the best food we've had in the country is in Philly.
Yeah, there's a lot of edible flowers there for sure.
Oh yeah.
I think this was interesting. I mean, he was based in Hawaii before. I suppose it was more convenient for his new fame to be in Philadelphia. Not necessarily for him, I'm sure for production.
Yeah, obviously. Well, what chunk of his life was spent in Hawaii? Like what? How many years did he do?
I don't know. I think just a handful.
Handful? So he's not really Hawaiian.
I don't know what I'm talking about. Okay,
but he hasn't done, he definitely not more than 10 years.
I mean, he's 28.
Okay, so maybe it seems five. Unlikely. Are we going five as the over under
Hawaii?
Okay,
five, I think, is a safe bet.
Does that make you Hawaiian-ish, or is he's not really a Hawaiian person?
No.
But for a guy from Philly, he's a little too chill. Like, Hawaii makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, he's like surfing. He's like, yeah, man.
No, it's true.
Today.
He doesn't have Philly vibes. I agree with you.
Philly
has,
vibes more gritty.
He seems a little more California to me.
Or Hawaii.
So Joey chats with his family. We learn his biggest fear is not having his feelings reciprocated.
Low bar for biggest fear.
Yeah, and also this could have been copied and pasted from any other season. Bachelor, I feel like every season you've seen lately, probably ever, it's like, oh, I want to make sure they're here for the right reasons. If I chose someone and they weren't there, their intentions were not pure.
It's all central casting.
And as we get to know him, the highlight for sure for us was the topless. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, it's all sentimental. And all of a sudden, he's like, with his tennis racket, and he's topless.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
I respect it.
It was better. Are they not going to do that?
No,
that's the question.
It was far better than a topless shower scene.
Yeah. I'll take topless tennis all day over topless shower.
So that brings us to night one. Joey arrives at the mansion. I wrote, no surprises here. The usual conversation. Are you excited? Are you nervous? Jesse's, you know, hyping it up. Jesse insists that he's making history because, what do you think, Eddie? How could he be making history?
Because he's the first decathlete who's ever participated in The Bachelor.
That would be a good one. No.
Or he is the first person who's ever invented a medicine that saved the lives of millions of people and also a bachelor.
No, sadly.
Oh, no. What is it?
No, it's that he has the most women ever.
That was my third guess.
Even that, though, when they're going to do that, 32 women, like we've had 30 several times. We've had 31. I'm not, like, I know it's just like splitting hairs, but if you're going to make a big fuss about it being, you know, record breaking.
Yeah, make it 100. Make it 100 women. And also don't give him credit, obviously, but make it, let's do that. Let's have a bachelor where it's like, it's a stadium of women.
I actually would be into that.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Let's do it.
Because in my opinion, I actually don't think more women is better. I think the big mistake this show keeps making, especially as it gets a little long in the tooth and they keep looking for different gimmicks to keep you interested, I actually think what they should be doing is right in front of them, and that's to pull back on the number of women so that there are fewer women with more dates each. I've said this for years. So everyone's more invested, and then you really get some real tension.
I mean, less is more, right?
Yes.
Isn't that the biggest piece of advice we can give the franchise?
Yes.
Always go less is more. When in doubt, less is more.
Yeah. Andy, let's talk limo exit wins and fails in keeping with tradition. Mm-hmm. So who is your limo exit win, Andy?
I got to be honest, I was a little disappointed this year, this season.
Yes.
It was not a great limo exit situation.
Yeah, nothing too out there.
Yeah, it was fine.
But also, yeah, fewer risks being
taken.
Fewer
risks, yeah. But I'm going to give it to the beer shooter.
Oh, Lauren.
With the sister, yeah.
Yeah, she's the older sister.
The older sister.
Lauren
and
Allison.
I mean, that's pretty hardcore. I mean, why not? Shot a beer on national TV. And challenged him to do the same, and he failed. That's good.
Yeah,
that's
she
good
really
exit.
Slaughtered him.
Yeah,
that.
Destroyed him.
Yeah. I mean, it was.
I can't shoot a beer.
It was pretty impressive. I was like, wow.
Yeah, that's badass.
Even when I maybe did that once in my life, I was.
No, I probably almost vomited.
Okay, that's an interesting win for you, but I respect it. She gave very cool vibes.
Yes.
A little aggressive. I thought, like, sometimes some stuff she said to her sister, I was like, it kind of took my breath away.
Yeah.
Like, just because I would never speak to my sisters like that and vice versa. But, you know, every family is different. Like, when her sister got the first rose at the rose ceremony and she was like, oh, go fuck yourself. Yeah. I was like, oh. Like, I know they were kidding, but it was just kind of intense for me.
It's hard kidding. Yeah.
So my limo exit win is, I can do this from memory, Kelsey A with the voodoo doll.
Oh, that was my runner-up.
For limo exit win?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I liked it. It was cute.
Yeah, I thought it was super
quirky.
Cute. Yeah, can't remember this being done before, which is kind of crazy.
And she's from New Orleans, so that's a thing. Voodoo is big in New Orleans.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know
Louisiana that. Louisiana in general, I think. That's like the capital of voodoo.
Really?
I mean, I think probably the world capital. No, actually the world capital is probably, I would guess, somewhere in Africa. But yeah, New Orleans is the U.S. capital of voodoo.
I did not know that. Is that something I should know?
It's not something I necessarily know that I know. But I think I'm right.
I was teetering between admitting that I didn't know or being ashamed and feeling like I should know that.
No. It's not something to be ashamed about. I think that voodoo is big in New Orleans.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I thought it was cute. She brought it out behind her back and then she, you know, poked it on the, oh, she kissed it on the cheek. And then he was like, oh, I think I felt a little something.
Yeah, that's cute.
The fact that he played along as well as he did. Yeah. I just thought this was
He always does
different.
That. Joey always plays along well. He doesn't deliver. He doesn't initiate, but he plays along as well as any bachelor ever has. He never gets awkward.
Yeah.
He never gets all like, woo-hoo-hoo, like a little schoolgirl. He's very cool. He's a cool guy.
It's a...
But cool, maybe too cool. Maybe too cool.
I don't know if he's too cool.
But not that kind of cool. Not like Don Draper cool. Like cool, like temperature.
It kind of makes sense with his tennis background because it does feel like he always returns the ball. You throw the ball, he catches it, he returns it back at you. It's not like it just falls flat.
No, he always returns the ball.
Yes.
It's not necessarily a winner.
That is a strength.
But it's a return.
That is a strength.
Yes.
I like that about him.
All right.
Okay, so our limo exit fails. Andy, what was yours?
Well, mine could have been a win, but it turned into a fail.
Okay.
Was the chemistry.
Okay, this was Caitlin. She was she's a chemist.
She's a radiation.
Radiochemist?
Radiation chemist? I don't know.
Radiochemist.
Okay.
At 25.
I assume that she deals with radioactive material and chemistry.
That's
pretty hardcore.
I know what you mean, though, this experiment.
Yeah, I wanted it to turn a different color. That was the thing.
Oh.
I expected it to turn a color. That would have been the big reveal, but instead it just kind of foamed up.
Yeah.
Like I could have done that. I could have just put baking soda in there. Who cares? I wasn't pleased.
You were
that.
Let down by the experiment.
I was really let down.
Okay, so my limo exit fail. I had two in the running for this. First was Zoe with the platter of bananas, where she asked him which banana did he resonate with.
You know
with?
What that was.
What?
You know what that was.
What?
It was low-hanging fruit. Okay.
And the other one was Kyra, who appeared to scream for no reason, but hers was really lost in a montage, so I don't want to give it to her because, you know, maybe there was context that made this scream good, but I found the scream just lacked commitment. Like if you're gonna do the thing where you arrive and you're all nervous and you're like, let's scream, and you scream, I feel like you really need to scream.
Oh, you gotta go for
it. You can't half-ass the scream.
No.
Anyway, my limo exit fail goes to Zoe with the bananas, the low-hanging fruit.
Low-hanging fruit.
This is just cringy to me. What's he supposed to say to that?
Yeah.
Let's say he does identify with the biggest banana.
It doesn't matter. He can't win.
Lose. Exactly. I actually thought Joey handled this so well. He was like, okay, we won't go too crazy. And he went for the second biggest banana.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just felt like if the roles were reversed, I'm sorry, the gender roles, I hate to be that person, but can you imagine if a guy came out and did anything resembling this?
Like had like an apple, a grapefruit, and a cantaloupe.
Oh, just
like which one?
Yeah, it was just not funny enough. Anyway, I thought he handled this really well. And he was also like, oh, wow, that was really bold. It was nice of him. Mm. Anyway, that was not my favorite. But I agree with you. The limo exits were kind of like, I didn't mind Daisy's with the truck and the Christmas tree.
That's cute. I mean, that's what she does.
Yeah, but her family does.
I mean, that's,
but it wasn't like a thing.
That's what she does.
Okay. All right. We'll move on. So it's night one officially. Joey arrives. He gives the usual speech. I gotta say, this again could be copied and pasted. Truly.
Also 100% memorized and practiced.
Yeah.
Every word. There was no way that was ad lib.
Yeah, but I think that everyone does that more or less. But
okay.
It really was so identical to speeches that other leads have given. You know, he's been in their shoes. He's been nervous. He's been there. Like, he knows how it feels to be nervous. He was once a normal dude focused on everything but finding love. But then he went on his journey. He found love, but also heartbreak. And then he truly believes his fiance is there in that room. It's like
nothing new,
tick, tick, tick. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. What do you want to do when you're the bachelor? Do you want to play it safe or do you want to break the mold and be memorable? And to be memorable, you're going to have to take some risks and you might be disliked by a lot of people.
Yeah.
But isn't it better better to be a little memorable than to sort of just play it by the numbers?
It's too early to tell because the speech really is the same. But you know what I was missing? I was missing a little Verzacchi. Was football?
Football, family, and fried chicken?
Was that what it was?
Or pizza? Football, family, and fried chicken?
No, it wasn't fried chicken. It was friends, family, fried chicken? No,
it was fried chicken was in there.
No. Was fried
some
chicken
kind
one
of
them?
Food.
I can find out.
Hot dogs, family, and friends? Football, pizza, and family, friends, fried chicken.
Oh, family, football, frozen pizza.
Oh, I actually got free pizza.
The only thing to make this speech any different from any other one was at the end, Joey toasts to finding his next doubles partner.
Okay. All right. Whatever. It's fine. Let him off the hook.
No, it's not even him. Fine. It's not him. I'm not against him.
Show.
It's like, it's too identical. Like, we need to shake it up slightly.
Yeah.
You know, just slightly.
Just a little bit. Just a little jostle.
It feels like it's literally the exact same speech. Like a producer helped him with the speech who wrote every other speech, and it's identical. They just added the doubles partner thing in there to make it bespoke to his tennis background.
I mean, look, I'm on the same page. Okay. I don't know what else
to say.
All
right, I'll drop it. We'll keep going. Okay, so some notable one-on-one time. First up is Autumn. She seems nice.
It's fine.
I feel like Autumn will last until about episode 6.
Yeah.
She's got episode 6 written on her for me.
The autumn of her season is coming soon. Easy.
I mean, she really tried to use her name in her limo exit, but it kind of fell flat because it turns out Joey doesn't like Autumn. That's not his favorite season.
No, it's his last favorite season.
Yeah. I think Autumn, though, is a great season.
Autumn is a good season if you appreciate winter.
Yes.
If you don't like winter, Autumn is a very upsetting season.
Upsetting.
Winter is coming.
Overall, this conversation felt a little, I wrote, professional to me. Yeah. You know, she's touched that he mentioned his grandparents' love in his speech. She, too, models what she's looking for after her grandparents' love. It just felt, okay, I'll stop.
Have you seen this show before?
I don't know what I want. What am I looking for? I come into every season
Want more.
I do. I want more.
Yeah.
I want more because I feel like if we were given less of the script, almost scripted stuff, at this point it's feeling scripted.
Mm-hmm.
Does it not feel scripted?
It feels like WWF, but without the wrestling and yelling at each other.
Oh, I was thinking it feels a little more like Bravo.
Oh, sure.
And it's not like a producer didn't talk to Autumn about what she would talk to Joey about. So I feel like even that, it's like, oh, he mentioned his grandparents' love. My grandparents love each other.
Well, I got to tell you, it's an important point because that is where this franchise dies. It dies on the hill of Bravo. If they go full Bravo, it's over.
Ooh.
People don't want that.
Yeah.
They think that people want that. And people may think that people want that.
Yeah.
But no one wants that. They want to see it real. And you know how you make it real? You strip away all the gimmicks.
Yes.
And fewer contestants, more quality, fewer people.
Yes.
Less people, fewer people.
Fewer.
I never know with people. It's tricky.
Less
it's fewer people.
People
or less people?
It's fewer.
Because people's a thing. It's a noun. You could have fewer or less, technically.
I think this bothers you more than it bothers me.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll say less or I'll hear someone say less and I'm not like, oh, that's grammatically incorrect.
Yeah, I don't care. I'm just wondering what the actual real usage
Meanwhile,
is.
Meanwhile, something I get caught up on that you don't get caught up on is waiting in line. You wait in line. You don't wait online. But you seem to think waiting online
that's
is
a New
acceptable.
York thing, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
It's not correct.
It's fine.
Okay. So next up we have Erica. She was the one who danced out of her limo exit.
Good dancer.
She lives in New Jersey. Also, I found this a little professional. I found it a little like studied.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Joey in his ITM says, Erica likes to have fun. And I love that.
He loves fun. You know what? You know who else likes fun?
Who?
This guy.
I mean, I'm going to be honest. I don't like fun.
You don't like fun?
I don't like fun.
You know what? That's what I like about you. You really hate fun.
Can you imagine if that were...
Yeah, who doesn't like fun? Who doesn't like fun? You know who doesn't like fun? Literally the devil. Satan.
No, but even Satan would
have
his own version of
fun. No, he
likes
fun, fun torturing people.
Yes.
So everyone likes fun.
Everyone likes fun.
Monkeys
it's not
like
a defining
fun.
Characteristic.
Fish like fun. I would go as far as saying bacteria like fun.
Okay. Next up, we have Jess, who says that he's a walking green flag. Jess...
Oh, Nothing more exciting than a walking green flag.
I did like that he asked if she's still in Tennessee. So he remembered something she had told him.
He listens.
He's very good about
that. Good listener.
And she insists she's only there for him. And then he goes in for a kiss, which was rather shocking because we were not feeling it at all. Mm. But it turns out she was the right target for this because she quickly runs back to the group, the entire group, and talks about her smoochy poo.
She Braden's them.
Yes, but it didn't
But it's way worse. Braden's was legit. Braden's? You know what Braden's was? It was sincere.
Yes.
He was a giddy little kid. He's like, guess what? I kissed him. Also, she was like, I'm going to tell everyone I kissed him and I'm going to cause trouble.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stir the pot because stirring the pot is probably going to get me past night three.
Mm. Well, it probably will, sadly. So even that, yes.
Ugh.
But Braden, when Braden did it, he did it at the bar with just, you know, guys he was
chatting
with.
He didn't announce it to the room like an animal.
She came back to the room where everyone was and called it. She said, I even got a smoochy poo.
You know what
poo.
I'm going to say right now? I'm going to say that she sucks.
Jess, my issue with Jess, so she pretends to relish the attention, the negative attention she starts to get here, and that kind of like, I don't care, I didn't come here to make friends kind of way.
Yeah. But oh wow, no one's ever said that before.
Yeah.
Oh.
Even this feels so practiced. Like, just to me feels like someone who didn't have the confidence to come on this show as just a romantic lead character, and so she's really leaning into the tried old tricks.
See, the thing about her is what she doesn't realize is that a villain, a true villain, is someone people root for. They don't like to, but you still root for them.
Yeah.
It's like Batman versus Joker. Uh-huh. It's not like you're not really rooting against Joker. In the end, you want Batman to win at the very end.
Yeah.
But you kind of want Joker to get away with a lot of stuff first.
Yeah.
That's how it is. He's a good villain. Well, and she's someone you don't want to hate. You want to stop hating. You want her off the show.
No, you don't want, you feel indifferent. That's my issue with Jess, is that I feel completely indifferent.
She's annoying.
To her. Yeah.
There's a difference between being a villain and being annoying.
Yeah.
Jess is annoying.
Yeah. I mean, it might sound like we're being kind of harsh, but when she stole time from Taylor later.
She's being harsh on herself. If I said to her, Jess, look back at the tape. What do you think of that person? She'd be like, that person's annoying.
I mean, but she's based on the caricature she's being. She would not say that. She'd be like, I don't care what you think. I'm here for love.
Right, but that's meta.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if she was in a room and no one, she had to tell the truth, she had truth serum, she'd say that person's annoying.
So next up we have Jen. They race bumper cars.
You don't race bumper cars. No. You bump bumper cars.
I was looking
cars.
Forward to some good bumping, but
there
it never
not
happened.
One bump.
I do like Jen, though.
I like Jen, too.
She's very up. Like, she's very, like...
Yeah, I like
She kind of does her own thing, but she still feels natural.
Yeah.
And I think that she's a good match for Joey in that energy level. I kind of feel like because Joey is so chill, I really like to watch him with someone like this.
Absolutely.
Someone who's
I'm
more
into
active.
It.
Yeah.
I'm into the coupling too.
And now we have a montage of time with a bunch of ladies with the usual voiceover of Joey's in his ITM saying, I've never dated 30 some odd women in my life, let alone in one night.
Mm.
Again, this could be copied and pasted from any season. I think he was even asked the exact question, have you ever dated 30 women in your life?
Yeah. I mean, are we going to cover every time he says something that's predictable?
Okay, I will get over it and I'll drop it soon.
All right.
It's just, you know.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it takes away. It takes away from the experience.
I agree. Maybe he'll blossom. Remember for Zachy.
It's not Joey.
It's not Joey.
It's not Joey. It's the bigger picture.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. So that montage ends with Daisy. This is, you know, we've seen it a million times before. Montage, and then a front runner. And we know that Daisy's going to be a front runner ever since her limo exit. And she even had the hometown package. She grew up on a Christmas tree farm. She started to lose her hearing at 17 and recently got a cochlear implant. I really enjoyed this backstory. It was cool getting to know her. She's super likable.
Oh, yeah. And Christmas tree growing
farm,
family.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's I want to watch a reality TV show about a family that grows Christmas trees.
Daisy is going super far.
Yeah.
If not on this season, although I do think she's going to go far on this season, I feel like she's going to become a sort of Bachelor franchise fixture.
Yeah. Oh, no, she's going far on this season, too.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later.
Okay. Even their conversation feels quite authentic and pure. Like, it doesn't feel too... You know, like, oh, now I'm going to say the thing. I'm going to talk about grandparents' love or whatever.
No,
it just sort of feels like, oh, we're just getting to know each other.
Their conversation to me seemed the most organic of any of the ones I saw.
In his ITM, Joey says that she has a soft-spoken demeanor that pulls you in.
She does.
And she says she's excited for him and will be cheering him on. I like it when a contestant can say this and not make it about themselves. It's like, but what a cool experience you're about to have. I'll be rooting for you.
And I'll tell you
Separate
something. It's impressive for someone to go from a Christmas tree farm life to national TV.
I don't know if she went straight from Christmas tree farm life to this.
I'm going to believe what they tell me.
Let's see her age. She's 25. I mean, maybe. I don't know if she still lives.
She's still in the family business. Doesn't it say Christmas tree seller?
No, it says account executive.
Oh, for Christmas trees?
And now the ladies are chatting about how odd it was that Jess mentioned her kiss to everyone, and Jesse drops off the first impression rose, which brings us to Taylor. I gotta say, Taylor's main purpose here is to be interrupted by Jess. So Jess already had her one-on-one time. She already announced her kiss, and now she's interrupting Taylor for more one-on-one time. Mm, oh my God.
Wow.
Do we even want to talk about this?
It's tiresome.
I mean, I appreciate at least that Taylor didn't just roll over. I feel like she was cherry picked for being someone who would retaliate and make a big deal out of it.
Whatever happened to just like, no,
I know.
No, I'm having a chat. You come by some other time.
I think it might be because they have all these restrictions on the alcohol now.
Okay.
Because on my night one, there was none of this from what I recall. And when I watched the episode back, I had heard that there was this really drunk girl who had been acting out, but I didn't really know. Like, I wasn't really, like, there for a lot of it. And then when I watched it back on TV, I was like, oh, yeah, that girl got super drunk. And, like, now I'm seeing it. She ended up kind of leaving, or he sent her home the next day in a hotel room or something. But so that was sort of the big drama talking point. But it's so true. If you eliminate that, when I think about the most eventful night ones, looking back, it's usually because someone drinks too much.
Sure. Yeah, I agree.
And now they can't do that.
They can't do that.
So now they're like, okay, Jess, like,
yeah, do why the you go thing that Taylor? Someone who drank too much would do.
Yes. Act like someone who drank too much. Looks fun.
Can I drink? No, you can't drink. We're just act drunk.
I can't think of worse TV.
It's the worst. It's
watching just people who aren't that drunk acting like people who are drunk.
That's torture. You know what that is?
It's bad acting.
That's hell.
Jess insists, meanwhile, that she's not that girl. So when Taylor does pass her by, she acts like Taylor's giving her attitude. Even this. She's just earning her keep, pretty much.
No one, by the way, has this conversation that early in a situation. This is all fabricated. She's literally just trying to be that person. She read the formula. And she's like, I'm that person. This is my best shot. I'm going to fully embrace it.
There is a formula now.
It's annoying.
I mean, Game of Roses has a book on how to win The Bachelor, right? Like, there is an actual formula. And I think that's when the game needs to be shifted, or like you said, jostled.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is it's too much if everyone can come in with an actual formula and it can work so reliably.
It's you know what it is? It's boring.
It is boring. And I'm sorry, this was a boring premiere. Yeah. After Golden Bachelor, I found this to be disappointing because I think... And look, do I think they started filming this probably while Golden Bachelor was maybe already underway, or maybe, you know, simultaneously? No. I'm not saying that Golden Bachelor should have fully informed this season of The Bachelor, but I did find this premiere to be a little disappointing given what a success Golden Bachelor was and why it was a success. Well, it was obvious why it was a success.
This was the proverbial orange juice after brushing your teeth. Not that bad.
It was something citric.
Citric.
So Jess and Taylor talk, but I don't even want to talk about it.
No,
it
we're
was
not
all
talking about
whatever.
It.
Okay. So that brings us to Lauren and Allison. They say there's an elephant in the room, and they reveal to the group of ladies that they are sisters.
No one cared. Really.
Yeah, no one cared. I actually thought that was pretty funny. All the ladies were like, okay. I do agree. Look, I think every family's different. But I personally have to agree with the people who thought it was a little weird.
It's weird.
Like, I just can't imagine dating someone that my sister would have dated, ever dated, might date, anything. There's no overlap in my family.
Well, I mean, this is an easy trope. This is just like a gimmick that you can always throw. And they had the twins that one season.
Yeah, but
the
twins felt, it was...
That was more novel.
Yeah, it was more like ridiculous. Yeah. Meanwhile, the sisters, it's not as ridiculous,
no,
right?
No, it should be. If you're going to go sister, it should be full ridiculous.
So twins.
Yeah, twins.
Okay.
And twins that look like those twins. You know
and
what
act like those
I'm
twins
I'm talking about. But yeah, this was like, okay, so they're sisters, great. So it's a little weird. You're stretching. They're stretching.
I think the thing that keeps me from hating it as much as I want to is the fact that I like Lauren.
Yeah, I like
the older sister. I like Allison too. I just really like Lauren.
Yeah, they could have done worse with the sisters.
Yeah.
So, all right, we'll take it.
Philadelphia.
Philly.
That's why.
A fine city.
It is a fine city. So now this moves over to Joey. Lauren talks to him first, and she tells him her story, and then Allison interrupts, and then she tells a similar story, and then Lauren comes back and is like, oh, surprise, we're sisters. And he's like, yeah, I figured. I appreciated his reaction. It was so like anticlimactic. He was like, uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. He was like, boring. You know what we're just doing here? We're just waiting to weed out like 70% of the people. That's all. We're just waiting. We're just sitting around, tapping our fingers, like, all right, get through the stupid drama.
That's why
get
more
through
is
the
not
sister,
more.
Get through this gimmick, get through the girl who got the card in the audience. Mm-hmm. Just get through it. Let's get to the part where there's actual real people having a potential at a relationship with this Joey guy.
Yeah, that's why it's not good until like episode 5.
It's ridiculous. It's all filler. Yeah. Why do they have to do that? Just cut it down. It shouldn't be a record. We talked about this, but it shouldn't be a record-breaking number of women. It should be a record-breakingly number. Wait, a record-breaking number of record-breakingly small number of women. Can you be a record-breakingly something? Anyway,
yes.
It should be.
Yes.
Because that way we're like, oh, you know what? I would even go even further. I would say let Joey give him a whole set of pictures with what they do, their age, their like background, and let him pick the 10 women.
Yeah.
Let him pick. I want this. Done. Uh-huh. Then we have a show.
Yes.
No bullshit.
Yeah. And then those women get so much more one-on-one time. And then they start to really get into it, right?
Yeah.
I think they have it all wrong by taking time away from the women to make them panic. What you should do is give them lots of time so that they think that they're a front runner.
Yes.
And you can't do that if there's too many women.
Make everyone think they're a front runner. You're so right. We don't want to have people panicking because that just creates dumb side drama.
Yes.
No one wants that.
I think it should be 24 women. Let's say 14, 15 women on night one.
Yeah.
And then he cuts it immediately down to 8.
Yes. 8 is a good number.
And then episode 2, it's just 8 women. So you have like one one-on-one and then 2 group dates.
Yeah.
You're telling me that that's not going to get way more intense towards episode 5?
One person should be eliminated every episode. One person. That's it.
Yes. I agree.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
We're going to start sounding like a broken record. We're going to start sounding like a broken record talking about this broken record.
Yeah, but sometimes you have to become a broken record to convince someone to
not be a broken
record.
Do
the thing that the broken record's doing.
Okay, so next up we have Kelsey A. And I mean, Kelsey A, she is definitely a front runner. She's from New Orleans. She grew up in a military family, so she grew up in Germany.
That's, yeah.
But he was just like, I love that. And I was like, don't you have follow-up questions?
More questions.
But he's good about questions.
Good.
I'm
he's
not
good.
Giving him a hard
Can't
time.
Knock him.
But when someone says they grew up in Germany.
You got to ask, what's going on with that?
I mean, that's interesting.
Do you speak German?
Yeah.
How long did you
what
live
there?
What
was that like?
What was that like? Did you enjoy it? Do you want to go back?
Yeah.
Do you like bratwurst? I don't know. Is that German?
Glühwein.
Is that a German thing? Glühwein?
Yeah.
What is that?
It's like mulled wine that you get at Christmas time.
Oh, the mulled wine.
Yeah.
Mold as opposed to mulled wine. When I first heard it, I thought it was wine mold. Made from mold, which actually kind of makes sense.
I mean, I wonder if she has a EU passport.
Yeah. Oh, you do have dual citizenship?
Yeah. It's a lot of questions to be asked.
How do you
asked.
Feel? How do you feel about the politics of Germany? Past and present.
Kelsey is definitely going far. And now we get some Leah. So Leah was last out of the limos. She's the one who got that special card at After the Final Rose. She's basically the Brianna of this season from like Zach. We had last year Zach.
Yeah.
Brianna got the...
She's the gimmick. She's the gimmick candidate.
She's the gimmick. But what's interesting about Leah is that I feel like they chose poorly in their casting of their gimmick contestant.
Yeah.
Because she opens this card... And I mean, talk about gimmick. It's she apparently has the power to steal a one-on-one date from someone. If this isn't Survivor, I don't know what is.
Yeah, there's already litigation forming around this.
It feels so like the opposite of what they keep saying they're trying to be about love. It's like, if it's about love, then you shouldn't be able to steal it from
it's
someone.
It's not a game. They're saying, look, wink, wink, we know it's a game.
I know.
But don't make it a game, obviously.
Yes. Thank you. What I appreciate is that her reaction wasn't like, ooh, well, what should I do with this? She didn't even pretend to be slightly happy about it. She starts to cry and immediately is like, I don't want this. You know, that's her reaction.
That's the right reaction.
Yes. And then she talks to Joey and then they talk about it. And she says she doesn't want to play God in his search for love. And thank you. Like, and I really think that they kind of messed up. I think they thought she was going to be different than
totally,
she is.
Yeah.
Because they could have given this to someone like Jess, right?
Jess would have run with it.
I mean, Jess even said when Leah eventually burns the card.
Yeah, give me that card.
Yeah. So I wonder what happened there. If they miscalculated what kind of contestant Leah was going to be. Like, what was she supposed to do or say in the situation? She did, of course, the right thing, but I also can't imagine anyone doing anything differently, except
unless
for someone like
Jess.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know. Honestly, maybe they wanted her to do the thing she did. Maybe that was the outcome they wanted, to be like, oh, look how wonderful she is. She wouldn't do such a terrible thing.
I mean, it did get her the first impression, Rose.
Exactly. So who knows? Anyway, weak all around.
Yes. This was distressing to me.
Yeah.
Because the other things we've seen in this premiere, we've seen before. The Jess character who tells everyone about the kiss and then steals someone to get more time when other people haven't had any time. And then you've got the two sisters and, oh, does he know their sisters? And then they're kind of competing with each other. It's like, okay, we've seen that before too. But this, for this to be the card that they were hyping around.
This has got to be the last time this ever happens.
I was distraught.
Can't happen again.
Like,
can't do this again.
This is the wrong direction. It's like, you know, it's like, oh, you're getting warmer, you're getting colder, you're getting warmer. It's like that. It's like, no, you're getting colder. That's the wrong direction.
Yeah, it's like
no one wants that.
I have to bring back the quicksand analogy.
Yeah.
This is what they're doing. They're in quicksand.
Yes.
And the quicksand is all the gimmicks that they're doing.
Uh-huh.
And they're sinking and they're like, how do we get out of this quicksand? Oh, let's do another gimmick.
Yes.
No, all they're doing is struggling in the quicksand.
Yes.
No, you grab a branch.
You do something different.
You get your body flat. Make your body flat and you slowly pull yourself out on the branch.
To me, this letter thing was really the canary in the coal mine for me. It's like, how could you think that this is what anyone wants?
Yeah, they should start doing immunity idols.
Huh. I mean, isn't it funny that when ladies were speculating about what it might say, they're like, oh, it probably gives her immunity. It probably guarantees her something.
Or you should just find like around the house, there'd be like envelopes, like you could find it hidden where it's like just cash inside.
Straight up cash. Yeah. It's funny how they keep pretending that Bachelor Pad never happened. And of course, this is an old spinoff, but they keep making the show more and more like it. Yeah. To me, this is very Bachelor Pad, which you never know what I'm talking about, but it was so good.
Oh, so you like it?
Bachelor Pad was amazing.
Yeah, but you're saying, but it just doesn't
work.
No,
but then it was fully gamified.
That's a game.
Yes.
This is not a game.
It was for a cash prize.
But that's not about love.
No.
Love may happen. And actually, they weren't even supposed to have love on Bachelor Pad, right? It's kind of
not
like,
necessarily. Yeah. And then some people did.
Some people did by accident.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the point. The point is it was a game.
Yes.
This is not a game.
And if
it is a game, then fully make it a game.
Yes.
But this is not, people don't want to see a game.
Yeah.
I don't get the feeling from our audience that people are into this show because of its gamification.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah.
There are way better game shows to watch than this. So anyway, Joey seems touched by Leah's feelings around this. I appreciate that she says she can have as many one-ups and superficial advantages, but what does it matter if she's not his person? Or
she stated the obvious.
I know.
I think production should have figured that out first.
Leah returns to the group, tells them she cries a lot. Some ladies seem to sort of give her a little side eye over crying so much, but I felt for her. Yeah. I thought she handled this very well.
Yeah, it's so stressful.
This brings us now to Lexi.
Mm.
Lexi is the one who was born in Toronto, now lives in Atlanta. Turns out she's very sporty. She plays golf.
Mm.
And she says if he ever wants a smile from across the room or to talk, then she's got him. I thought this was cute. It felt very natural.
Yeah, absolutely.
This morphs into an extremely chaste kiss between them.
Very chaste.
Yes.
Real pecks.
Yes.
Like that was like bordering on like mother-son kissing.
I mean, it was a lingering chaste kiss.
Yeah, it's like you're going away for like study abroad for a summer and that's how you kiss your mom. No? I mean, I didn't do that, but I'm just saying some people might.
Maria, meanwhile, is noticing how many ladies Joey's kissing and she decides she wants to be different. She's going to leave him wanting more.
Which means she's definitely not kissing
him. And now Maria. I have to tell you, I love Maria's
speaking. I also love Maria.
Well, I like her, but I also like her speaking voice.
I like her speaking voice as well.
Yeah.
I like everything. And also, she's Canadian.
Yeah.
I mean, by the way,
do we think that's a coincidence?
Why'd they blur the Canadian flag when she did her limo exit?
What was up with that?
Well, what's going on with that? Why? Like, hide the kids. It's the Canadian flag.
Anyway.
Maybe it's like a Gucci Canada flag.
Okay, so Maria asks if Joey likes scary movies. She asks about his top three movies. He says, remember the Titans.
You know, I honestly have never seen it.
You know,
it seemed like a by the numbers kind of movie. Probably a good by the numbers movie. It wasn't interesting to me.
I haven't seen Remember the Titans either.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. It looked a little gory for me.
gory.
Am I wrong?
Remember the Titans? No, you're thinking of Clash of the Titans.
Wait, so one's a sports movie and one's like a violent.
I think one is like
movie.
A sports movie with like Denzel Washington or something.
Oh, Joey in his ITM says that he knows Maria will keep him on his toes, and they have this look. They look at each other and they're sort of looking at each other's mouths.
Yeah.
And she kind of gives him this come hither look, and then they go in for a kiss. And I was into this.
Yeah, it's good.
I like Maria so much. And it was interesting to me that they kept giving her this sort of like clown music.
Yeah.
When really all she was doing was having a big personality.
Yeah, she was actually being interesting and cute.
Yeah, and I mean, I didn't mind because I'll take whatever I can get. Yeah.
I'm into Maria.
This interesting.
Maria's the kind of Canadian I like. She's a good, she's got
the
that
kind
super,
of Canadian you like.
No, she's got that good Canadian sauce.
Yeah, but I mean, Canadian sauce is always good.
No, it's sometimes not that good. The Hermolka siblings were the ones, the serial killers. Oh.
Well, in that case, there's plenty of not good American sauce, too.
I tell you, Canada per capita makes a hell of a lot of serial killers. It's true.
So now it's first impression roast time. Joey gives it to Leah. This was interesting.
It's a long shot.
Yeah, I agree. Based on Leah's overall story, I do think the card, you know, gave her an advantage, actually, in her being able to handle it the way she did. But I really don't know if I would have seen this happening. I still don't know if I totally... I don't know. I don't really buy a romantic connection here.
This is an asterisk first impression rose.
I appreciated that he gave it to her. You know, he easily could have given it to someone. Like, I really felt like he was, like, rewarding her for her good behavior.
You know what she did? She gave him an easy out. Because I feel like on night one, the first impression rose, especially for a guy... is a difficult one, because what you're doing is you're basically saying, like, I've had like 10 seconds with each of you and I'm just going to pick my favorite.
Yeah.
It puts a lot of pressure. It also creates a potential chivalry issue.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I think she gave him an easy out. He was like,
sweet.
Done. Totally. You got it, baby.
Totally. And now the night's over. Jesse arrives to say it's roast ceremony time, which causes... you know, a lot of people to be upset. Evelyn in particular has been crying because she hasn't had any one-on-one time. And I wrote, I think she'll stick around because of this.
So do you think she cried to stick around? Or do you think that because she cried, she stuck around?
No, I actually got a very cool vibe from Evelyn.
Yeah, me too.
And I think that there's just nothing worse than all the gearing up that goes into getting onto the show and then to not actually get to talk to the guy. It's just so cruel.
I feel like Evelyn felt like she was going to go far. And she didn't even get a chance.
No, I don't even think she felt she was going to go far. I think she just wanted fair game. You know, like she wanted to talk to the guy that she was there to meet. It would just suck to go home for not having spoken to him.
Oh, yeah. Night one going home is a bad feeling. I can only imagine.
So now we have a rose ceremony. Not much to note here. You know, they have Allison, the younger sister, got the first rose, and that's where Lauren gives her attitude. And then Lauren gets the last rose. Interestingly, Maria gets a rose towards the end, and, you know, she's got some nerves. But overall, no surprises here. Andy, that brings us to your A game. Who do you have winning?
You know, I'm going to have to give it to Leah for not falling for the trope.
Yeah.
You know, the whole like, oh, here is the thing that's going to cause drama later and we'd like you to do this thing. And she said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do the right thing.
It felt like she realized what kind of character she was at risk of becoming or who she had been cast as, actually. And she was like, no, I actually want to be a romantic lead.
Leah, to me, was a surprise because I felt like in the studio audience when she got picked, she was a little awkward.
Okay.
Like, you know, but...
Nervous energy.
Nervous energy and... she's turned around. I mean, I actually think she, you know, as far as how she acted on night one, she shone.
The more I think about it, the more it makes sense that he would give her the first impression rose because it really did speak to her sincerity.
Yeah.
Because she had a ticket to screen time.
She chose the right path.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she did. She chose the
wisely.
She chose the not shiny goblet.
Yes. All right, Andy, that brings us to Word Watch. Mm. We're back in business here with our Word Watch. We have some exciting prizes lined up for you guys.
We do.
Do you have a word for next week?
I do.
Ooh, what is it?
In honor of Joey's ability to volley in conversations, I'm going to go with tennis.
Ooh, I feel like that could be a lot, like over 20 or
zero.
None. Yeah. Okay.
I like it.
Tennis. So if you would like to join in the Shandy Word Watch Fun and have a chance to win an exciting prize, then you can guess the number of times you predict the word tennis will be uttered in episode 2. You will do so by entering the numeral of the number of times. You will not write out the word. Like if you think it's said 5 times, you will use a 5. You won't write out 5. Mm. You must do so by commenting either below this YouTube video or over on the Instagram post for this very recap. And if you guess correctly, you will be entered in a draw and then one name will be plucked and that person will win a very exciting prize. They are one of our favorite sponsors.
Oh, yeah.
You guys know I love me some Skims. Skims. Mm. I mean, I'm wearing a Skims bra at this very moment. I am always wearing Skims, actually. So yeah, you can win $150 in Skims pieces. A very solid prize.
It's a lot of Skims.
It is. Yeah. I mean, you can really do a haul on your underwear with that.
Absolutely.
One.
Absolutely.
Yes. So be sure to enter and do so by this Friday at midnight. And yes, tennis. I like it. So that brings us to our predictions. Who do you have in your top spot, Andy?
Easy. Kelsey.
Kelsey A.
Kelsey A.
Yes.
Kelsey
two
A.
Kelseys. Make sure you specify which Kelsey.
I'm surprised there's only two.
I happen to agree. I also have Kelsey A in my top spot. She's the one with the voodoo doll. She's the one with the amazing hair.
Amazing hair. Beautiful, quirky backstory. What more do you want?
Yeah, but also not too much backstory where I feel like her backstory is her purpose.
No, it's perfect. Yeah. Perfect balance.
Because sometimes like people have some backstory and you're like, oh, that's going to be their main talking point.
No. She's not backstory. Her backstory is there just to add. It's like the little bit of chili sauce on the spaghetti, just to give it a little bite.
She just has front runner written all over her. Duh. Like I can't imagine anyone not having her in their top 4.
Come on.
Okay, this is where we start to diverge. Andy, who is in your second spot?
I'm going to go Daisy.
Okay. How come?
They seem to have a nice rapport. She's got a good backstory.
Yeah.
And
maybe a little too much backstory.
Maybe too much backstory.
Yeah.
It's like a little heavy on the backstory.
Yeah. Like she's more like going to be an audience favorite. Maybe we'll become a fixture in the franchise, but
it'll be very sad when she leaves, but she'll move on to a very healthy Instagram career.
Less so now than in the past.
Oh yeah.
I have Lexi in my second spot.
Lexi.
Yes.
Huh.
Lexi. I actually considered putting her in first.
What?
Is that crazy?
Lexi?
Yeah,
wow, Lexi. That's a bold call.
I think Lexi has the look. She's got some backstory. She's the one with the hometown package where she revealed that she had always wanted kids, but now she's learned that she may not be able to have kids. I mean, this is a very refreshing, very relatable storyline. Yeah. I think this is something that I think a lot of people might encounter in their lives, but may not see represented on TV, especially shows like The Bachelor.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So I really look forward to seeing more of Lexi. The reason I thought about putting her in my first spot is because she really didn't have the same amount of airtime as Kelsey A.
Yeah.
And to me, that's a good sign in night one.
Yeah.
But overall, Kelsey A, the voodoo doll.
Oh, the voodoo doll alone.
Yeah. And also the kiss with Lexi was too chaste. It wasn't, wasn't enough but I think that, that was just maybe first kiss material.
All right. Well, we shall see.
Okay.
Interesting.
So in your third spot, who do you have?
I'm going Maria.
Okay.
I like her. She's got the Canadian.
Yeah.
Good personality, quirky, funny, interesting, cool.
True.
Good rapport. Good kiss.
Good kiss. And I also feel like I said about Jen earlier, I feel like Maria has enough flavor it brings Joey to life when he's with someone like that.
He needs spunk.
Yeah.
You need to balance out that. I mean, Joey's got a lot of good things, but it's low. It's low frequency.
Even when he talked about his tennis grunt, he talked about his tennis grunt being low. He was like, So I really do like Maria a lot. However, I have Daisy in my third spot for reasons.
I can't disagree.
You've already listed. So who is in your fourth spot, Andy?
Fourth is where I have Lexi.
Yes, you did have Lexi in fourth. I have Jen in fourth.
I was struggling with Jen.
Yeah, me too. Because I don't know if I think Jen is going to win, but I think Jen's going to go really far. And I think it says something that I didn't have Maria in my top 4. I feel like Maria is serving a different purpose. And I actually can picture her being groomed for next Bachelorette. like Caitlin Bristow 2.0 kind of bachelorette.
Maria Bachelorette. Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
I can see them being like, oh, that spunk. But it's also like safe spunk. She's not offensively spunky.
Safe spunk.
It's an agreeable spunk.
Yeah.
Who's not going to like her spunk?
Who doesn't like spunk?
Yes. And I also feel like in the previews, Maria was a little too present. Like when she says it's official, he's the one, blah, blah, blah. I don't know if they would show that if she was going to end up with him.
Interesting.
Maybe I'm overthinking it.
That's
though.
Overthinking. But I like it.
So who is your wild card then, Andy?
I struggled on this one.
All right.
It was between a lot of people. I was thinking one of the sisters, and I couldn't decide between the sisters. So I was like, you know what? Then no sisters.
Okay.
I feel like it's a package deal. I'm going to go with Leah.
Okay.
For a couple of reasons. The least of which being he gave the first impression rose.
Yeah.
That's the least important.
All right.
One is Hawaii.
Yeah.
I think he spent enough time in Hawaii to get some, like, he feels like he's Hawaiian.
Okay.
And I think that's a nice clue there.
All right.
And I think they had a nice rapport.
They did.
Above and beyond all the gimmicks. I think she's delightful.
Mm-hmm.
I've changed my tune on her. When I first saw her, I felt a lot of nervous energy. Mm-hmm. I think she calmed down. Was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm into her.
All right.
And I think that, you know, the first impression will add a little bit. I mean, you got to throw that in there a little bit. I mean, that's something.
Uh-huh.
Even though I think it's BS.
Okay.
So, Leah.
I feel like you're over-defending your wild card right now. It's too much explanation. She did get the first impression rose. This is not that wild.
It's not that wild, but I do think that first impression rose is BS.
Yeah.
More BS than any other first impression rose.
Okay. So in my wild card spot, I have a true wild card.
Ooh.
I like to have a true wild card.
Sure.
Although I don't have a great track record.
No.
But my wild card is Caitlin, the radio chemist. The one with the limo exit fail for you.
That's not that wild a card. That's a good wild card.
Oh, okay.
As a matter of fact, I kind of forgot about her.
Okay.
I may have put her as my wild
card.
That's
what I mean. You forgot about her. But to me, Caitlin is not one to forget.
No.
She's very striking. Loved her dress. It was really interesting. Yeah, I wanted to know more. And she's a radio chemist. And she was just really under the radar for night one for someone who I think is as, you know, obviously striking as she is.
I got to be honest. I'm a little envious of your wild card.
Well, I had to sacrifice Maria.
That's a tough one.
I know. Having a hard time with it, honestly. I really felt I should have Maria on my list, but I'm really banking in on Maria serving a different purpose this season.
Okay.
And I can really see her becoming the next Bachelorette. Can you imagine if I end up being right about that?
Oh, that's such a call. If you're right, you get a full with regalia and a full band playing. I told you so.
Okay. All right, Andy. Well, that's a wrap for this recap. Let us know, Shandies, in the comments. I want to know if people saw this episode the way we did, or maybe we're curmudgeons.
It could be both. I mean, can a curmudgeon be right if there were two people? One's a curmudgeon and one's extremely positive.
Yes.
And there was something. There's like this one thing that they were asked to give an answer on.
Yeah.
I would say most of the time the curmudgeon's going to be right.
Oh.
Most of the time. Not all the time. Not a huge majority, but like 55% of the time.
Yeah.
That's just the way life is.
Maybe the positive person manifests a good outcome for themselves.
For themselves.
Yeah.
But
for themselves.
Yeah. Not the world.
Selfish asshole. Yeah. I'm just curious to know if other people saw this the way we did. To me, this was a very tired premiere. And I really went into it with
We honestly, were excited.
Optimism.
We were talking about it. I even said during
Andy
the afternoon.
Said verbatim, I'm excited. But you were let down.
I was.
It's because we just had Golden Bachelor.
I had also high expectations. I think usually I go into these with very low expectations.
Yeah.
I think from now on, the lesson learned, go in with low expectations.
Okay. That's a good note to end on. If you enjoyed what you heard today, you know what we will ask of you, and that is to like, subscribe, hit the notification bell, follow us on Instagram and
TikTok.
Leave us Apple and
Spotify
podcast ratings and reviews. Tell your friends and generally do all the things you would do to support a podcast you enjoy. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time on Dear Shandy. Bye-bye.
Dear Shandy.